Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Cantu in Dallas, Texas on Wednesday, December the 6th. Today we're going to take a look at some very interesting information that I learned this morning. And I have an article coming out hopefully tomorrow regarding this. And it has to do with the very partisan nature of our federal bureaucracy. I don't know if we've ever had in our history a situation where so many bureaucrats are in a sense, connected to one political party. And I'll get into it in just a second. I also remind you that I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning talking about the violence in Mexico. And the violence in Mexico is very severe, to say the least. Now, to be fair, it's concentrated in regions. It's not in every single place. You go to Mexico City, for example, you don't see that kind of violence or in Cancun or whatever. It's kind of concentrated in certain parts of the country. But the bottom line is that the violence is very hard, and it is having a huge impact on the number of people who are being killed. I mean, the numbers are staggering. And with a presidential election coming up here next July, the question of violence and what to do about the violence is once again going to be paramount. Back in 2006, when President Calderon first ran for president, his argument was, I'll use the armed forces. And they had some success. I mean, you got to give them credit. They had some very good success. They were able to beat back the cartels. They were able to capture, even kill some of the cartel leaders. In 2012, when the current president, Enrique Peña Nieto, came in, he wanted to downplay the use of the armed forces. And frankly, a lot of Mexicans agreed with him on that. They felt that it was a little too dangerous to have that many soldiers out, you know, in a sense, doing police work. And so they, more or less, he decided to back down a little bit using the forces and try to create a police force. The problem is he really didn't have the time to do it. And eventually they had to use the armed forces again. But now the country faces a real dilemma. You know, how do we fight this crime? The crime wave is tremendous. The cartels are obviously very well funded because of all the money they're getting from up here, very well armed. So what can I say? It's going to be probably a very top topic in the election and a very difficult choice for the next president of Mexico. The violence is, in fact, a very serious problem. Well, I mentioned that this morning when I was drinking my coffee, I was looking at some of my favorite websites, catching up with the news. And I saw an article by David French of National Review where he was initially talking about this incident where you have an FBI agent in the Mueller investigation of President Trump's collusion. And you have an agent like this, and he was talking about, you know, what's a guy like this doing working in an investigation as sensitive as this? Well, eventually this guy was fired. He was tweeting some things to his apparently his lover, and who was also, I believe, working in the investigation or maybe in another part of the federal government. Bottom line is he was fired because he was tweeting some things about Donald Trump, President Trump. And that became, of course, a tantamount problem because this was the agent who was interviewing General Flynn. So all of this was part of the article by David French, as I said, over at National Review. Then he had some information in there that was just absolutely devastating. It really impacted me. I had never seen these numbers. I had heard about this, but I had never seen these numbers before. 96% of the federal employees in the federal government, 96% voted or donated, I should say, or let me rephrase it. 96% of the donations that were made in 2016 from the federal government employees went to Hillary Clinton. 4% went to Donald Trump. But then when you get to the Department of Justice, it's 90% for Hillary Clinton, 10% for the Department of Justice. This is obviously a very serious, mismatch of funds. You know, when you have that much, almost 9-1 for one candidate or the other. So the bottom line is that I think this is not good for American democracy to have a bureaucracy that is that partisan. Now, I'm not saying that many of these people are guilty of anything. I mean, they have a right to be voted for whoever they want or donate to whoever they want. We know that. But the question is, when it's in those numbers, can people like me living here in flyover country, can people like me raise questions about the fact that these donations are so one-sided? I think that we should, and I think that we can, given some of the other things that are going on. Let me say hello to our good friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio. How are you, George?
Real good. It's cold and wet, and we might get some snow.
Is that right? Well, we're supposed to get 38 by tomorrow morning. So can we officially say that maybe winter is making an early arrival, George?
Well, I think so. I think so. And I think it needs to be investigated. I keep hearing that this cold front is coming from Siberia. So is there Russian collusion in this whole thing? I mean, I'm
wondering. Well, you know, there may be some of that. And of course, when everything fails, we just blame it on global warming, right?
So there you go.
There you go. So it's always global warming, but no, we're supposed to be at 38 tomorrow morning, which is, I always enjoy that, you know, waking up at 38 and going out to get the newspaper. It's always an experience. Yeah, you gotta make sure you're wearing shoes when you go out, and it's that cold. Well, George, I appreciate your joining me tonight. You worked in the federal government, and I thought you might have some input on this. You may have heard some of my presentation. I also tweeted today some of this information, and hopefully we'll have a post about this tomorrow. And the whole thing is that I was reading an article by David French, a National Review, and I was stunned, I have to confess. I was stunned when I saw these numbers. 96% of the donations from federal employees went to Mrs. Clinton. And as I'm sure you know, having worked in the federal government yourself, that most of the people there are good people. I don't think that they're bad people. I think most of them are doing their job and they're good people, and I'm sure they'll do an honest job. When you have numbers of this type, though, I think you do have the right to say, wait a minute, maybe it's a little bit too much in one direction. And then on top of that, George, as I don't have to tell you, you had the IRS was used to go after conservatives. You now have this, FBI agent in the Mueller investigation who's under fire. There may be others. And I think, I don't know, I think it's legitimate for those of us, as I say, who don't live there or are here in the outside to look and say, are these bureaucrats maybe a little too partisan, George?
I've got to agree completely and totally, and at the risk of sounding like an alarmist, I do think that it's worse than what you think. And here's why. When I started working there as an intern in 1975, I remember that there were real efforts to, let's say, liberalize, if I can use that word, to make the federal government to adjust it to the 1960s thinking of civil rights and equality and everything else. And in doing so, the federal system of employment and the federal system for grievances and all that took a real turn. When I came back with the Reagan administration, 6 years later, I noticed a tremendous difference in the attitude of a lot of managers, plus the boldness of the unions, of the federal employee unions. They were much more bold. They were much more in the face of of managers. They were much more in the face of the appointees. Now, let's remember that the appointees are there because the president has asked them to manage the agency. And the agency, they call it an executive agency because it's supposed to be under the auspices, under the direction, under the management of the president of the United States. However, the employee unions were very, very, very strong. And if you remember early on, the President Reagan had to go head-to-head with what was considered then one of the most powerful unions,
yes.
Not just necessarily the federal union, but one of the most powerful unions, which were the guys at the airport,
the people in the flight towers or whatever they're
right,
called.
Right, exactly.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of the name either, but I know who you're talking about.
They were very powerful. They could bring, mm-hmm. Theoretically, they could bring the nation to its knees by slowing
right.
down the air traffic. Well, he didn't put up with it. He fired them, which was just a shock. And that
mm-hmm.
sent a real shockwave through the unions and through the federal agencies. And things stopped a little bit, but, before long, they were back at it again.
Right.
Under Mr. Bush, they excelled again. And under Mr. Clinton, they were just in charge. So
mm-hmm.
what has happened in the past years under the past administration, because I know accelerated even worse under Obama, is that folks have been emboldened that they can carry out their own political will without
mm-hmm.
any kind of repercussion. We
right.
saw it under Clinton. I saw it under Bush as they've really tried to undermine Bush, and definitely under Obama, they promoted folks who clearly had a political agenda. And the better that your political agenda was, the more in keeping with that,
right.
the more that you got promoted. And so what we have now are a lot of folks that are sitting in very, very high positions within the agencies that have political agendas and who will not back an idea of lessening government, because that means lessening
right.
their power. They will not back the idea of a president that will keep them under control, because they know what's best. They will tell you
right.
real quick. They know what's best. So I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah. No, and I'm sure you have. And as you were giving us that timeline from your days as an intern to more recently, the Obama experience, what I think has happened is that the employee unions, the federal employee unions, or the public sector unions in general, have become very powerful and very much connected to the Democrat Party in many ways.
That's right. That's exactly
the
right.
The Democrat Party and the public sector unions are really the same thing. For example, I'll give you just a quick story. Up in Wisconsin in 2012, we have a family member up there who was a public school teacher, and she voted for Romney in the election. And then she noticed that an extremely high percentage of the donations went to President Obama from the teachers' donations. And she said, wait a minute, how do you explain that? I mean, the final vote in Wisconsin was like 52-48, but the donations go to Obama like 90-10.
Yeah,
and they
right,
really
exactly.
couldn't explain it. They really couldn't explain it except to pretty much say, hey, we like him and we don't like the other guy. And
exactly.
I think that this is what's happening in Washington, and why this bureaucracy has become so partisan. As I say, I don't have a problem at all with federal employees. As I said, I think most of them are honest people and they're trying to do their job. And I'm sure most of them do their good job. I mean, I know some on a personal level who are very qualified in what they do. And I'm sure would never do anything that is unethical. But when you get these levels, 96%, 90%, it really begins to, it hits you between the eyes, George, because you really begin to wonder, are they working to protect, are they working to protect the union, or are they really protecting the government?
That's exactly right.
I think it's a fair question to ask, and And it's interesting. I'll just say one quick thing. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, an icon of the Democrat Party, I remember reading many years ago, I read something that he was opposed to public sector unions. And one of the reasons he was opposed was exactly for this reason.
That you would create
this unhealthy relationship between the workers and basically the politicians. And I'll just say one more thing very quickly, George. Look at California. I mean, the public sector unions in California are literally running the state.
They can
change elections. They can, you know, they've made the Democrat Party the dominant party in large part because they control the elections. So I don't know what the solution is. Is it a the elimination of the union, or is it maybe, you know, if you have 8 years of Trump and you can change managers, maybe that could have an impact on the staff.
And there's more to it. Let me tell you one other thing that we need to understand is that because of this 1960s mentality of sensitivity and diversity and all that, a lot of folks have been hired into positions, particularly civil rights positions, where they end up actually not being very objective, where they end up being very subjective in their approach to an issue. Specifically, let me tell you about the agency I used to work with in Washington, in the Justice Department, called the Community Relations Service. The Community Relations Service is supposed to mediate disputes, civil rights disputes, before the Civil Rights Division gets involved with legal and everything else, because supposedly that's much more costly. So what they try to do is mediate a dispute before it escalates. Well, what has happened over the past 30, 40, 50 years of the existence of that agency, it's that it's become more of an advocate for minority civil rights than it has been objective. And I hold that agency directly responsible, along with the Civil Rights Division, for the anti-police approach that has happened in many places like Ferguson, like in Baltimore, where these folks, instead of going in and mediating and calming things down, they've gone in and actually thrown more fire on the fuel by telling the police department, you know, that they're at fault and they're guilty and they need to get out of the way, et cetera, et cetera. And I saw that firsthand when the whole Rodney King thing erupted, and I was called out to help with that. It was very, very disheartening to see how partisan some of these folks behaved.
Right.
And it is. It's very, very disturbing. It should be very,
right.
very
no,
disturbing
I,
to folks.
I agree with you 100%, and it's when you see, you know, I look at it as a citizen. You know, I'm sitting here watching some of the things that have happened in Washington recently, like the IRS going after conservative groups, like this situation right now that we have with, with the investigation. This investigation, I think, has hit a wall. I really do. And they're going to have to clean up some of the problems, credibility problems that they have. I see it by the number of leaks. The number of leaks coming out of this investigation are absolutely crazy. Now, in all defense, in all fairness to Mr. Mueller, a lot of the things that we are hearing may not be true. Many of these leaks may actually be completely wrong. Like the Brian Ross. Remember Brian Ross of ABC?
Right, exactly.
He went out on the basis of a leak and he lost his job. Now, for example, they're talking about the investigation of that they're looking at banking records from Germany. And that may turn out to be false, too, because there's no confirmation of that. But my point is that at some point, it seems to me that if you have a federal bureaucracy that is that supporting a candidate to those levels, and the rest of the country is not at those levels, there's a disconnect there, George, that I think is dangerous for the country. I'll just put it that way.
That's exactly right. I mean, you cannot have a bureaucracy that's independent and that has no accountability. And that's what we've got. That's where we're heading right now. We're heading towards a situation where we've got bureaucrats who seem to think that they know better and what needs to happen, rather than holding themselves accountable to the public, to the taxpayers.
I think you are exactly right on that. And of course, their arrogance, I think, was probably promoted. Their arrogance, I think, was promoted by the Obama presidency. Would you not
That's
agree
right.
with that?
Yep. I mean, a good example here in San Antonio has been or here in South Texas has been the EPA and their approach to water conservation and land rights. And Congressman Lamar Smith has had big battles with the EPA, whose committee he chaired, in trying to get them to be cooperative and trying to get them to provide information. And in the meantime, they put out all sorts of directives telling people, you know, what they could do and what they couldn't do with water on their own property. So, I mean, it's very, very, very dangerous when a bureaucrat starts telling you what you can do and can't do on your private
right.
property.
Exactly. And I just think that at some point, I'm not suggesting that the bureaucracy should be 50-50. You know, is that, because that's impossible.
That's impossible.
But when the bureaucracy, I mean, that's just totally,
gotta be
held, I mean, that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
but when you have levels like this, it does worry me that we are way too far in one direction, because then it really shows you. I mean, if they support Hillary Clinton to the extent that they do, you have to believe that a lot of people in positions of authority in the bureaucracy actually agree with many of the things that she's doing. And,
oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
May very well be people who, I mean, I think we're learning as we untap a little bit some of the stuff that was going on, whether it's unmasking or, you know, all this controversy about the dossier and was that used to get a warrant? I mean, all this kind of stuff. I think we're learning that if Hillary Clinton had been elected president, none of this stuff would be coming out, George. None of this stuff would be out.
That's what's dangerous right there. That is really, really scary. I mean, you know, I mean, imagine a bureaucracy that is cloaked in secrecy and protected by the person that you depend on to uphold the Constitution. I mean, that is really scary.
Right. And I think that this is where, you know, when I saw those numbers, I had to say to myself, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. Now, again, those numbers may change as these departments are run by different people. That could be because many times people in positions of – some of the people in more important positions, as you know, often they're political appointments. So if you put different people in there, the department is going to act differently. But if we have numbers like this in, let's say, 2020 – I mean, basically what that is a confirmation that this bureaucracy is at war with Republican presidents, George.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not sure that you can put it in any other terms or that you can make any other conclusion. The other thing is, again, the behavior of the bureaucracy and being so partisan, because on the other hand, you had an agency like the Border Patrol that was completely hamstrung in doing its work by the Obama administration, and the employee unions not backing them up whatsoever. So, the other employee unions, the other federal employee unions, didn't do a doggone thing to protect them, and they were kind of left out there by themselves. Their own employee union was the one that was at war with the rest of the employee unions and with the administration, because they wanted to do their job. And so, again, that shows how partisan and how political this situation is, because it is not the role of an agency to determine which part of the Constitution they're going to follow or not.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just
– No, you're right. You're exactly right. And under the Obama administration, the EPA became in many ways, almost like an unaccountable government. And then you had situations, for example, like President Obama using executive orders to spend money that the Congress had not appropriated for this or that, to issue executive orders with respect to abortion, for example, on Obamacare, that ended up getting the federal government or putting the federal government at war with some sisters in, I think, New Mexico or something, who were doing nothing other than taking care of very elderly people. That's what worries me, that when bureaucrats think, sorry about that, when bureaucrats think that the guy at the top has their back, they're going to be more aggressive, George.
That's exactly right. And that, you know, that when a bureaucracy becomes aggressive, we really need to watch out, guys. We really, really, really need to watch out. I mean, when that starts to happen, we need to be very, very careful. I mean, it's so dangerous for a bureaucracy to not have any accountability and to be out of control.
Dangerous. You're exactly right. George, I want to thank you for joining me on short notice, but I wanted to chat with you because you've been there and you have a perspective that many of us don't have. But I think these numbers should make us think a little bit about the political thinking of the bureaucracy when they're that one-sided in their donations. I really believe that. Thank you so much for your time, George. I appreciate it. And make sure you wear a coat if you go out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm gonna go see if we can make a snowman.
Hey, there you go, a snowman. That's a good politically correct thing to do, right?
Oh, that's right, a snow person. There you go.
A snow person. And make sure he has. That make sure you don't violate anybody's ethnic roots when you make
right,
up the snowman.
Go.
Make sure that you address all of the different identities so that
I don't want to appropriate anybody's life, anybody's culture.
No, not at all. Not at all. Make sure the hat is multicultural so nobody's offended. George, thank you so much for your time. Have a great evening.
Take care of it, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes. And then after that, we'll be back with a closing thought.
This is Carlos Geddes, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
My good friend Carlos, if you're on Facebook, you can check him out and get updates on where he's playing around town. He's playing at a lot of different places, and all I can say is wherever he plays, the food is good, and the music, obviously, is extremely good as well. Just a quick historical note. On this day in 1865, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, and that's, of course, the amendment that made slavery illegal in the United States. And unfortunately, President Lincoln was not around to see this this ratification. He worked very hard to get it out of the House at the end of 64 into 1865. And he was able to see the House vote for it. But of course, it then had to go to the Senate and to the states after that before it became the law of the land or an amendment to the Constitution. But we remember today one of the great moments of American history when slavery was officially made illegal in the United States through the 13th Amendment in 1865. Well, just a quick note again, returning to our topic, I think it's extremely dangerous when you have a bureaucracy that is that partisan, when you have a bureaucracy that donates to one candidate at these levels, 96% overall federal employees, 90% Department of Justice. That's just a very dangerous thing. And what it does, frankly, is that you look at it from a distance and you go, wow, are these people really being objective? Most of them probably are, but you have to wonder about some of the leadership. You know, what orientation, what destination, where are they going when they are that committed to one political party or to one candidate? I mean, you just have to you know, you just have to ask yourself, is this the way it should be? I don't think so. I think there needs to be a little bit more balance in these bureaucracies. Thank you very much for listening. I'm fighting, as you could tell, a little bit of allergy there, but I should be okay. We're going to get a little cold here tonight in the Dallas area. We'll drop to 38 by tomorrow morning. So got to make sure you got the fireplace and some blankets and some coats out, because you're going to need them. You're going to need them tonight. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Quinto in Dallas, Texas.